I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother
Keith. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Whatever you're dealing with in your life right now, any kind of problem, God's will is that you overcome it. Not that you be defeated by it, but that you overcome it. But the scripture says the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. So it's not just all up to God. We have a part to play. And faith is not this mystical, magical thing that some have imagined. It's actually quite simple. It's trust in God, in what He said. It's a choice. Now, the weaker your faith is, the harder things seem to be, and the more impossible even small things seem to you. But it's not because it's hard for God to do. It's because faith is so weak. And that's why we have Faith School, yes, to do something about that weak faith.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because when you feed your faith, immediately things start changing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You feed your faith, and you start using it in your daily walk, it changes your eyes. It changes your ear. You see things differently. You hear things differently. You perceive things and you respond differently. That's why the scripture talks about so much, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Not by sight. So, Father, all of us agree together today concerning these things. We desire to trust you more and to rest in you and rely on you and please you with our faith in all things. So we ask and agree together for utterance, anointing, eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that receive, answers and help for right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, we've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're dealing with the question, is it God's will for us to have abundant provision? All of us, all the time. Now, you'll find a lot of people, they walk totally by sight. And so if they see somebody who's not experiencing abundant provision, then they make a leap to assume must not be God's will, because they believe that everything that's happening is somehow God's will. So everything that's not happening is somehow God's will, and that God is controlling everybody and everything. This is not true.
That's right.
It's absolutely not true. It's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what Jesus taught or Paul or Peter, or any of these guys. I know it's what a lot of religious people believe and preach and teach, but it's not Bible, and it's not true. And if you believe that, you are going to be hopelessly confused. You know, because you won't know what to resist. You won't know what to receive. If it's all God, you shouldn't resist anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And if you really believe it's God's will for you to be poor, don't try to do better and come out of it. You'll be trying to get out of the will of God. See, people don't really believe this. If you really believe it's God's will for you to have a disease and be sick, you shouldn't dare go to the hospital or doctor and try to get better. You're trying to get out of the will of God. Not true. God's a good God.
Yes.
His will is for everybody to be saved. They're not, but it's still His will. His will is for everybody to be healed.
Amen.
Yes. He's the great physician.
Yes.
The Lord who heals me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The psalmist said, He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. Same word all in both places. And He is the God of abundant provision. He is the God who will meet all your needs according to His riches in glory. He is the God who will run your cup over.
Yes.
Do you believe it, class?
Yes.
And so faith comes by hearing. And so that's why we're going over one by another, by after another, 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure, why we are fully persuaded. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Say it out loud for me. Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
It's always God's will
for us all.
Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
It's always God's will
for me.
Always.
Always.
Hmm? What about today?
Yes.
Abundant provision.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Rest of the week?
Yes.
Every day?
Every day.
It is. Now, I know a lot of people are not experiencing it, but that doesn't mean it's not the will of God. You have to cooperate with God. You got to believe Him. You got to, by faith, receive it. You need to, by faith, obey Him and step out in it. And surely as you do that, He'll perform that word in your life.
Yes.
And you'll experience things other people are not experiencing.
Yes.
He'll do it for them too, if they'll listen.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't control that. But you can control you. So we've been one by one through these reasons. The first one was, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. And we've gone one by one till we got to number 14, the God of restoration. And then we began on yesterday's class number 15. We're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all, because God's provision in the wilderness. Or I just said provision in the wilderness. Provision where?
In the wilderness.
In the wilderness. And we looked, you don't have to turn there, but we looked in two places, Deuteronomy 2 and then also in Nehemiah 9. Deuteronomy 2:7, he said, the Lord your God has blessed you in all the works of your hand. He knows you're walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Then Nehemiah 9 says a similar thing. He said in verse 19, in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. Verse 20, you gave your good spirit to instruct them. Verse 21, 40 years did you sustain them in the wilderness so that they lacked nothing. Now you got to remember how many people we're talking about. The scripture gives us the exact number of the fighting age men, 603,550 was the fighting age men. This does not include the younger teenagers, the children. It doesn't include the women. It doesn't include all the older people. So you can easily triple that number. And so just say 1 million, maybe 2 million. Maybe 1.5 million. But this is a lot of people to feed.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And all of their livestock. They got scores of thousands of head for this many people, of sheep, goats, horses, oxen, camels. I mean, the list goes on. Horses. The list goes on and on. And numerous times they got in a jam because they had no water. They're in the desert, and God got them water.
Yes.
Is that right? Have you read about it?
Yes.
Enough to satisfy everybody's thirst and all their cows and horses and fill up everything and take care of them, and they'd run out of food. But God got them food,
yes.
Didn't He?
Yes.
This went on not for 4 days, not for 4 months, not for 4 years. 40 years, God provided for this whole giant mass of people and animals in a place where there was nothing. Nothing. Absolute, desolate, dry wilderness. Desert. Now, has he changed?
No.
Why did he do that? I'm sure there was more than one reason. But we're still talking about it today. Right? How God can provide anywhere. So when the devil comes and he tries this, you know, he'll come and say, well, you know, you probably won't be able to do that this year. Why? Well, the economy, who's in office, who's not in office, the company, what's going on with the contracts, or, you know, if you'll listen, he'll give you 1,001 reasons why it's not going to work for you right now. Or it's not going to work for you here. Not here. You know, he'll always try to point out, well, you know, yeah, they can have revival over there, but not here. This is a burn over place. Bunch of dead wood Christians, you know. not here. Maybe one time, 100 years ago. But not here, not now. Is everybody listening?
Yes.
These are two of the devil's favorite phrases. Not here. And what?
Not now.
Not here, not now. And so let's say you say, well, okay, we'll just get ready for later, and we'll get it later, you know, and a year passes. What do you think he's going to say then?
Same.
Huh? Ah, sorry. You know, not quite. We're not quite ready. Not now. Maybe later. What do you think he's going to say in 5 years?
Same.
Huh? It'll never change. It'll never change. But we need to remember the God we serve is the great I
am.
Will be?
No.
The great I
am.
I am is when?
Right.
I am is now. The scripture says now is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Right? Today is the day. Now is the accepted time.
Yes.
Now faith is.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Go, somebody say now.
Now.
Now. Now. And where?
Right
here. Here. Here and now. That's what the Spirit of God will say to you.
Yes.
Huh? Now see, this is what they tried to kill Jesus about in his own hometown. He stood up and found the place in the book of Isaiah, and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me. He sent me to heal, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, etc., etc., to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he rolled it up and handed it back. He said, "Today."
Today.
Now. This has come to pass right here. Right. What's he saying? The Spirit of the Lord is on me here, today, now, to see these things in your life. And they went, who does he think he is? We know who this is. This is Joseph and Mary's boy. Who does he? Oh, they were offended at him. And you'll find religious people are that way. If you want to shout about the revival 100 years ago, oh, yeah, oh, it was, oh, they had a move, they had a move. No problems there. If you want to say, there's a move coming. There's a move coming. Oh, it's coming, it's coming. Everybody go, yeah. But if you say, right here, right now, today, they go, I know, just not ready today. And that's because it's a trick of the devil. If you listen to him, you'll never be ready. There'll never be a day when you're ready to go. It'll always be some excuse, some reason. And the Lord wants us to know that all of these reasonings why it can't happen for you in this place and time, they are junk. They are nothing. He proved it.
Yes.
He supplied for this 1.5 million people and all these huge flocks where there was nothing. Nothing. And he did it for 4 decades. Which means he could have done it forever. Right?
Right.
I heard somebody the other day was, you know, it's been a while back, about Jonah winding up in the belly of the great fish. They said, that's ridiculous. I mean, nobody could survive in the stomach of a giant fish or whale. And, you know, they're trying to make a big deal. Nobody could survive. Nobody could survive. Listen, the Bible said God prepared the fish.
Yes.
Hmm? You can live on the moon.
Yeah,
if God prepared a place,
yes.
Is that right? It wouldn't matter where you are. If God prepares you a pocket of environment, yeah. I mean, he could sustain you anywhere. Anywhere. If you don't believe that, you don't really believe in God. You don't really believe in the God of Genesis, the God who created the heavens and the earth. If he created all that, he can do anything. How many will lift a hand and say, I believe
my God
can do anything.
Anywhere.
Hallelujah. Anything. Anywhere. Hallelujah. I like this, don't you?
Yes.
Look in Psalm 105. Now, the first thing God did in providing for them is that he delivered them. They were in slavery. They were in bondage to the Egyptians. You know, it didn't much matter what they might have been given or had. If you don't even own your own body or being, the first thing God had to do was deliver them from being controlled and being oppressed. And he did that. And it took something to get them out of there. Because, you know, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And he just was not going to do it. But God said, oh, yeah, you will. And I mean, by the time it got to the 10th sign and wonder, they were like, please leave. Leave tonight. Right? And we don't haven't, you know, kept up with that much. But every one of those plagues and signs and wonders was a showing up of their gods. Every one of these, the river, the flies, the on and on. And you remember one of them was, it got dark and the sun didn't shine. Well, see, they worshiped Ra, the sun god. And so in every one of those, God showed them up. Huh? Showed up, your gods are nothing in front of me.
Amen.
And of course, you know, they're relying on their gods against him, but it got to a point where they're like, actually Pharaoh, some of his closest spiritual advisors, they said, do you not understand? We're all dead men. You got to get them out of here. That was their advice toward the end. They're like, this is a God we can't deal with because he's the real God. But he delivered them out of bondage. And then he gave them guidance. He led them. So Psalm 105 in verse 37. Psalm 105, 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed. That's what I told you. For the fear of them fell on them. So the first thing that happened is that God broke the power of Egypt's enslaving them, got them out of that, and then he filled their pockets with money.
Amen.
Why do that? Especially if God's not into that kind of thing.
Amen.
You know what I mean by that? Because, you know why I say that? Because people try to tell us, oh, God don't care about us. He used to.
Yes.
He used to care. When did he change? He never changes. So, two things here. Abundant provision of money and healing. Right? There was not one feeble person among their tribes. This happened in connection with the Passover, because that was the night that God, you know, dealt the last blow to Egypt, and they said, get out of here. So, anybody know what the Passover is a type of? You take the blood and you apply it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And then there's the body. I mean, this is communion.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And the Bible said even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. But notice, without going back and reading it, the scripture said that he told them everyone was to get a lamb without blemish, and they were to get in their house, their own family, and not go outside and offer the lamb and take the blood and apply it on the outside, the entry of the house. And he said when the destroying angel comes through and he sees the blood, he will not go in your house. He will pass over that house.
Hallelujah.
Right? That's Passover. And but that was just the first thing to do. There were two things. Two things. The second one is to take the body of the lamb that's roasted and all and eat the body, you and your family in your house. Very specific about to do it, but commanded to do it. And listen to this. This is something sometimes people have just kind of braced over. It said, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. He said, eat it with your clothes on, your shoes on, your bags packed, ready to go. That's an act of faith, isn't it?
Yes.
Eat it, ready to go. Now, we've already talked about some 1.5 million people. Do you think all of those people were in good health for a long journey?
No.
You got to remember what just recently happened is that they deprived them of their straw to make bricks, and they're beating them and they're pushing them from all day and half the night. Now you understand, a slave people that's been mistreated like this, their whole life, there would have been a lot of them that had issues,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Health issues, yeah. Had injuries that were not treated right, malnourished. I mean, the list goes on and on. But the Lord says, pack your bags. Oh, come on, y'all with me or not?
Yeah.
Who? What about Grandma? She can barely walk. Pack your bags, Grandma.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, come on. Huh?
Yeah.
What about Uncle Joe? You know, he got beat by Taskmaster, and then he can't even use half his body. Pack your bag, Uncle Joe. Right? I submit to you, miracles happened as they partook of the body of the Lamb. Miracles happen to the point where when they came out, there wasn't one feeble person among their tribes. This is the will of God.
Yes.
Can he do it?
Yes.
With 1.5 million of an abused slave people? He can do it to anybody. Anywhere. Somebody say healing.
Healing
is God's will.
God's will.
It's always God's will.
Always God's will.
Not one feeble person.
Not one feeble person.
Among all their tribes.
Among all tribes.
Now see, did he have to do that?
No.
Well, they needed it to be able to take the long trek, right? And go through all the wilderness and do all the stuff they needed to do. They needed it, but you know, a lot of folks in those days, they'd have just left the weak and helpless or worse. But God healed everybody.
Amen.
I said he healed everybody. 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 But you need something else besides being healed and healthy when you're leaving town and you're going on a big trip. What you need? Come on, what do you need? some monies. Huh? Some monies. So he said, because, I mean, you know, when the death angel moved through that whole place and the firstborn in every family died, and it had already been, you know, 9 previous signs and wonders that shook the whole nation prior to that. They were saying, please leave, please leave, leave now. Get out, go. And so the Lord told Moses to tell the people, say, yeah, but ask them for money. Ask them for money. And so they said, sure, but you know, all that gold coin you got in there, I'd like to have that. They said, sure, here. Here. And the jewelry. And the list goes on and on. And they loaded them up with silver and with gold. Why would God do that if he doesn't care? If he even prefers that you stay away from material wealth? No, this is the will of God.
Yes.
Is healing and health still God's will today?
Yes.
Is abundant provision?
Yes.
Still God's will today?
Yes.
Said out loud, he brought them out.
He brought them out.
Now see, that alone is type of the new birth. Out of darkness,
yes.
Out of spiritual bondage, right?
Yes.
Out of death into life. Did he bring us out?
Yes, he did.
Well then, once you're born again and you're ready to do something for God, what do you need? You need to be healed.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So you can, and you need some monies. Right? It takes monies to do things. Said out loud, he brought them out. He brought them out with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's just lift our hands and thank God that he is the same God today. Everybody watching online, lift your hand. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe you are the same God. You're the same God to us as you are to them. You never change. Your will never changes. Your ways never change. I say it out loud. I believe
it's
your will
for me to be
healed. I believe
it's your will
for me to have abundance of every good thing.
Abundant provision
for everything. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, our time's up again today, but I'm enjoying this. How about you? This is...
Whew.
The Word of God is good. The Scripture said, taste and see that the Lord is good. So we're going, He is good. He was good then. He was good to them. He's good now. He's good to me. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today. But you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.